Okay, so we'll get to some Jays stuff. Ashley and I were talking about the Aaron Boone rant, and a lot of baseball is talking about it. Yesterday, there were hot microphones, and we differed a little bit because I said I don't know that the microphone always picks up these conversations. There's famous ones, like there's famous Earl Weaver ones and famous Billy Martin ones, but is there any look that isn't great for Aaron Boone here, or is this just your standard ejection? You get thrown out from the bench, from the dugout, and you come out and you have your say, and there's a lot of bombs dropped.
Yeah, I would say so. To confirm that's true, Greg. I guess from my standpoint, being in clubhouses frequently and hearing managers talk and I guess one of my more favorite parts of the job is when I'm doing the sideline reporting job and I'm right there, you know, in the camera well. You get to hear a lot of language, and so you don't really doesn't surprise you when you hear this. Certainly, at no part of watching that video yesterday, Greg, was I thinking, "Oh my gosh, Aaron should not have said this or should not have done this." That is a little colorful language there, with one of the more popular words in the English language being used as an adjective. That is not a surprise to as my mentor, the great John Lowe, would say. This is no surprise to this veteran observer when it comes to that sort of language. So I think Aaron's performance was brilliant, and certainly he received a great ovation from the fans in New York and even his own dugout. I saw Brett Gardner clapping his hands and affirming his support of his manager, who of course was basically just trying to stand up for his guys and understanding that certainly he'd been run for the game. And so he, as they say, got his money's worth. So no issue on my end and not much of a surprise either, although I was rather entertained, especially with the use of the word savage. That's a pretty that was maybe the one colorful part that was noteworthy. And so I would expect it to become an even greater part of the baseball lexicon today than it was yesterday.
That's how you can tell that he's one of the younger managers, was using the word savage when he's talking to one of the umpires. But honestly, I thought that it was a little bit motivating, Greg. Mm-hmm. He's just like, you're not having a good start. Tighten it up.
Right.
Tighten it up.
We're two innings in.
You got to get better. Right. You're having a bad start, a little bit of profanity, but tighten it up right now. Okay. And one of the reasons I think we don't see all this stuff as much as we did before is because you don't need to, right? You're not arguing calls because you have the ability to challenge a replay. So What are you arguing for when you either have it on the video? If anything, you waste a little bit of time while your crew looks over the video to see if you have a case, and then you go and challenge. So it's a little bit different because you're not trying to change any umpire's mind, even though I don't know if that's the most effective way to change someone's mind, John.
Yeah, very good point, Ashley. And I think there's not as much of that dialogue that goes on now, as you point out, because replay has removed a lot of the existing arguments that were in the game for a very, very long time. But certainly balls and strikes are still a big part of that dialogue. And I know just from having been there and standing where I will often stand on the camera well side, you'll hear the manager, pitching coach, especially, you know, when that team's pitcher's on the mound, saying, "Hey, I need that pitch." But it, and it's always the interesting part, and I'll always say this, is that the managers, the players, the pitching coaches, the hitting coaches, when it's the offensive scenario, they all know these umpires by their first name on a relationship basis, and it always sounds a lot better. And it's interesting now being involved in youth baseball or T-ball as it is now for my kids, that I'll make this one point that it sounds so much better when the manager or the coach or the player says, "Jim, where was that pitch?" or "Bob, where was that pitch? I need that call. It was up, it was down," as opposed to "ump" or "blue."
Big
pet peeves. Learn the umpire's name. It just sounds a lot better when you have an issue with it. It makes it much more collegial, I guess, to have a disagreement as opposed to the faceless blue or umpire. I've always found that to be, it's like fingernails on the chalkboard. No, just learn the person's name and then have that dialogue from there. It begins things with a bit more of a respectful tone. We could argue yesterday if that was respectful or not. It was very convincing, and I think from that standpoint, Ashley, I think to your point, it was the proper way to deliver it, as in you've got to be better, like clean it up.
Yeah.
You've got to have a better day from now on. And I think that was a very interesting and compelling way to do it. Of course, the Yankees in general, certainly they were able to win the nightcap. They've put together a pretty good season, so maybe Aaron's effective rhetoric there is part of the reason why.
Well, and two things. The hot mic picked up DJ LeMahieu using the name and first name of the umpire and complaining about the very first pitch, but also Brett Gardner's home improvement project, John. I don't know how you are around the house, but the bat into the top of the dugout 9 times straight, that's not really how you build something. That's more a teardown project than a building project.
Right, that's more of the
Home Depot thing.
HGTV, that's more of the demo phase, which always seems like the more entertaining and enjoyable part of the project. But yes, that's the initial part of the reno, as they would call it. Property Brothers, I believe, don't they still live in Toronto?
Who does?
By the
Property
way, I say hello to them both.
That's right. Yeah, the income
they're
property
big fans
guy
of the show.
Scott McAllister, do I have that name right?
Yeah, thanks for put on a great show. That's always it's one of my wife's favorite programs is their show, and whenever she watches it, it's always, hey, we need to do this to the house. So I feel like it always ends up costing me money when that show is watched in our house. It's a great show, but it also always results in us
some ideas
more money than we expected.
Put on the parental controls. Put on the parental controls with a secret password, John. Block HGTV, and you won't have a problem.
She's not going to know. You just go, we don't get that channel anymore. I don't know what happened.
Oh, I love that. That's a great suggestion. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Tonight, Comerica Park, Marcus Stroman. This is weird. He's never started in Detroit, but he'll go tonight against Jordan Zimmermann, who we saw opening day and hadn't looked very good since opening day for, it's been a longer season for Detroit even than it's been for Toronto. What's the latest you hear on Marcus Stroman 12 days before the trading deadline?
Well, Greg, first of all, I'm very excited to be going to the game myself tonight, so I'll be there to watch what could be Marcus's last start for the Blue Jays. I think that's very much a possible subtext to him being on the mound tonight in the Motor City, and I think things are starting to pick up a little bit more around him. I still believe the Astros are a very legitimate candidate to land him. The Phillies, I have not heard as much about them on Marcus of late as I maybe did early, but I still believe that the general atmosphere is one that will produce a trade for him by July 31st. The Padres are another possibility. Interestingly, the Padres, I was told, are the most serious team on Trevor Bauer, which was interesting to me because, of course, Bauer, like Stroman, has just 1 year of control beyond this year. So that tells you the Padres are, at least they believe, close enough to their window to win that they will try to acquire a pitcher who is only under control for this year and next, which, again, I think will help the Jays. So Astros, Padres are two of the big teams I would mention. But I think other clubs that we had heard might have been involved in adding pitching. The Rangers, for example, they are now moving more into the seller category with Mike Minor likely being available. So a lot of different conversations going on, but I would say Astros, Padres, two of the more prominent teams to watch right now.
So out of the Padres and the Astros, who do you think, A, is more likely to be a little bit softer in negotiation when you're looking for a return on what you're going to get from Stroman, and B, who has some of maybe the young prospects and assets in their pitching system that it seems that the Blue Jays want to bring in and hope that they peak in a few years?
Well, I think actually the first part, the team that's maybe a bit more desperate to get pitching is Houston. And they, you look at their major league rotation right now, they've got three pretty reliable guys, Verlander, Cole, and Miley, and then two spots that are very concerning for them. So they, I believe that the Astros will give a little bit extra when they have to, simply because if they don't make a move for someone like Stroman or Bumgarner, again, any number of other possibilities out there, I think that they're going to have to they would really struggle, I believe, down the stretch to be able to put together a pretty good run and win. And if, certainly win the division, they should be fine. But to advance, they need more. So I think they'll be I think, a bit more flexible in what they give up. Now, they have to – I'll make this point, too, actually, that they actually have had a number of performances in their farm system this year not go very well, to the point that the value of their prospects is dropping. Today, Forrest Whitley is going to actually pitch a game in the Gulf Coast League. He's had a lot of problems just simply throwing strikes, staying healthy this year as well. He's only thrown 26 innings this season because of injury, and he just hasn't been himself from a standpoint of just simply getting the ball over the plate. So he's a bit of a distressed asset right now, and I think we'll know a lot more after his game today if he even has actionable value right now. The Padres, though, they're the team. If I'm the Jays, I would rather deal with the Padres than the Astros and potentially almost anyone else, because they've got the Padres do the value back that I would want. They've got the multiple good young pitching prospects in the high minors, and if you trade Stroman, you need to get pitching back, especially major league ready pitching. Logan Allen's already been in the big leagues. Mackenzie Gore may be a bit unattainable based on just how valuable he is in the market, but the rest of the group, of course, even think about a Cal Quantrill potentially, of course, which would be kind of a fun story for the Jays. I'd mention as well Davey Garcia, the young pitcher coming up from the New York Yankees. He made his AAA debut this week and was dynamite, a really intriguing young pitcher, I think 20 years old, a dynamic fastball. I think he is someone that if the Yankees end up getting Stroman or things get serious there, the Jays are going to have to find a way to get Davey Garcia as part of that package, mm-hmm. because he would be a really compelling lead piece in that. And I would say for Jays fans to learn that name, Davey Garcia, and follow his starts here at the early part of AAA, because he could be a key guy if, in fact, the Jays and the Yankees make a deal.
All right, enjoy that ball game tonight. Someone could be on the way to 100 losses with a bad performance. There could be four AL teams that lose 100 games. What am I talking about? Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
My pleasure, Greg and Ashley. It was a lot of fun, and thanks again for letting me delve into the particulars of Aaron's rhetoric on the field. I think it was very, very entertaining for all.
I've never heard you use any of those words. So I try to
keep it clean, as you know.
Yes.
Having kids around, they have a tendency to repeat things. So yeah, it's a good way of training us to keep our language as it should be. At least I hope.